You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio and also live on Instagram. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you break free from body shame, diets, and binging, and the shame that goes with it. Body shame, binging, and diets that don't work. That is what I am here to help you with. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you'd like to join me today, the number here is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind and what is eating at you, because the real problem with binging, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. It's what's eating at you. And I'm here to help you make that connection and feel better. So today, for those of you who are in the United States, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. And that's why I wanted to do a special episode of how to survive the holidays. Oh, yes. Do the holidays fill you with a combination of hope and dread, excitement and fear? Well, maybe you're worried about gaining weight during this festive time. And maybe you haven't seen friends and family for the holidays because last year was COVID and not a lot of us got together. So for many people, they haven't seen their families and loved ones for a couple of years. And that can bring up a lot of anxiety. But weight gain is especially a cause of anxiety during this time. So let's get the bad news out of the way first. Studies show that if you gain weight over the holidays, you tend not to lose it in January. Despite your good intentions, despite your commitment to be healthy, statistics are not in your favor. Sorry. The chances are high that your New Year's diet will not work in the long run. And now for the good news. It does not have to be that way. You're about to discover how to break the cycle. So I want to talk about a couple of things. There's a way to deal with food at the holidays, but let me just say one way to deal with food at the holidays is to think of it this way. We talk about the holidays as if the holidays start at, I don't know, Halloween and they end in January. But really, the holidays are just a number of days. And people say, well, it's the holidays, I'll diet in January. But the holidays are just a few days. So it seems like it's hard to be quote unquote good during the holidays. But think about it. What seems like several weeks can really be condensed to only a few days of actual celebrating. We have Halloween in October. We have Thanksgiving tomorrow here in the U.S. In December, we have Christmas Eve, Christmas, Hanukkah, except this year Hanukkah is in November, Kwanzaa, and New Year's Eve. That's just like 5 or 6 days altogether because nobody celebrates all of them. So if you think about which holidays you participate in, that adds up to a handful of holidays at the most. So take it one holiday day at a time. And by the way, if you skip breakfast or lunch thinking that you're going to go to a holiday meal later and you're going to save your calories, you are setting yourself up to overeat. Right? Two reasons that people eat too much. One is you don't eat enough and you end up starving and you end up eating more. The other reason that's physiological, the other reason is psychological. So a lot of times the holidays are scary because we got to deal with people. And if it seems to you like everybody else has this perfect holiday meal, this perfect holiday family, this perfect holiday get together. Every TV family seems to look as if they're at a table loaded with turkey and trimmings. They're happy. They're wearing matching sweaters. Maybe that's Christmas. And they're just getting along amazingly. If that is your actual life, you are super lucky. And that is unusual. But if not, if that is not your life, you have lots of company. family get-togethers can be huge triggers for so many of us. And if you feel like you morph into a 10-year-old the moment you step into the house where you grew up or where your family lives, the holidays can also be very unsettling. And if your family makes comments about what you're eating, or they just give you the look, you know, the... Not that they actually do the hand thing, but they sort of look you up and down, or you reach for something and they give you that look like, maybe they say, do you really need to eat that? Or maybe they just look it, or maybe they're not even thinking it at all, but it feels like they are. Then that is tough. It's really tough to feel like you're under scrutiny at the holidays. And when you sense that other people are mentally calculating how much weight you've gained since they last saw you, it is humiliating. So what is the answer? The answer is to be an observer. Be an observer. Keep the focus on what you... Oh, hold on. Hold that thought. Sam, caller, give me 1 second. I'm just going to finish my thought. And then, caller, I'm with you. Keep the focus on what you think of them instead of what they may be thinking of you. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Nina. It's Josh.
Hi, Josh.
How's it going? Really enjoyed the last few weeks, even though we weren't able to talk. I feel like I'm a regular guest, so I thought I'd just come in real briefly and let you know how things were going.
Please tell me and everybody else here how you are doing.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing really well, but lately I've noticed that I've gone out to eat more frequently, and I feel like it's this eating habit of mine, of binging or whatever you want to call it, is starting to creep back into my life after doing so well for such a long time.
Well,
and it could be the holidays. It could be, you know, seasonal affective disorder. Who knows what it is, but I haven't really noticed anything. I just noticed the fact that I'm looking like I'm hungrier than normal. And I'm too smart not to think that it must be related to an emotional issue.
Well, before you go to the idea that it is an emotional issue, first look at it as possibly a physiological issue. If you're hungry, physically hungrier than usual, maybe, I know you've said in the past, you're in Colorado, it's cold. When it gets cold, we often need to eat more. So it could be physiological. You want to rule that out before you go right to the psychological. Could be you're, you know, exercising more or doing whatever, like whatever it is, make sure that it's not something there's a physiological reason for your hunger. If there is none, then you want to consider hunger can be a physical manifestation of wanting more out of life, wanting more of something in life. It is also the holidays, and that can be in itself triggering. So what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, it's the last thing you said, or the second to last thing you said, which is I'm wanting more out of life. I think that resonates with me the most of what you said.
Okay, so wanting more, which is a yearning. And when we can't have what we want, sometimes that can be displaced into food. You can't, you know, you're hungry for, I'm just making this up, but like love, relationship, more people, whatever it is, more satisfying job, whatever it is. And that hunger for that becomes physical hunger. So let's see if we can get to the bottom of what you may be hungry for in life. What comes to mind?
Well, the first thing was how I originally started out on my path of recovery, which I know you hate the word, so I won't use it again. But I will say that I was upset with a certain group of people, call it political, call it whatever, that I didn't particularly agree with in what I was working on, what I was reading, and what I was thinking about or perceived. I mean, you never know who someone is. You think, oh, that person must be like that. But whatever it was, I was disturbed by other people's perceived behavior. But then I don't have an answer for what I would want more other than the fact that it could be something for myself that has nothing to do with other people. I might want some sort of goal, and I might be using food as a way to sort of satiate that hunger.
That is true. You may also be using food or thinking about food or even hunger as a way of distracting yourself from other things. Like, you know, what comes to mind also historically about the holidays? Do you have any associations with the holidays, with the idea of happy families or anything of that nature?
Yes, I mean, I sound like the Scrooge here, which is probably what I am. But and I know it was in that book that you like, the Examine Life is a chapter on someone who's like the Scrooge. But I feel very selfish around this time. I feel like I'm looking to try to do what I want to get done for me, and I probably shouldn't be like that.
Well, I think there is a big difference between selfishness, selflessness, and self-care. What you're saying doesn't sound selfish. It sounds like you know what you want and you want it. That's not selfish. Selfish is, I don't care about anybody else but me. I just want what I want. That's selfish. Selfless is, oh, I don't matter. It's what everybody else wants that matters. And self-care is in the middle, which is, okay, I'm going to navigate other people and me.
Yeah. You know, it just makes me think you might be right about that. But in the book on the Examine Life, this chapter was about love sickness and how the Scrooge is actually lovesick. He's not able to let the past go. He's not able to realize that people die and that things change. And I very much feel like I'm sort of hanging on to the past because the political climate is changing so quickly that what we did like is disappearing. I know where I live, a lot of the old buildings are being destroyed and new things are being built up, and I've got this guy blowing leaves, so I have to get up and go to another room because hopefully you can't hear that. But even next door, they're building this huge building and a lot of stuff is leaving and I'm sort of hanging on to it. And that might be why I'm eating.
Okay, so what comes to my mind is that you're dealing with a situation in which you feel powerless and helpless. You can't stop this quote unquote progress. You can't stop this change. It's here. It's happening. Buildings are being built. Buildings are being torn down. Life is changing. Political stuff is political stuff. And when we don't feel like we have power in our lives, we can transfer that into a sense of powerlessness over food.
Yeah, and food is going to be the one thing that I can count on.
And the one thing you can count on, and the one thing you can count on to be focused on, right? Because if you're focused on what you're eating or you're focused on this hunger, you're not thinking about the other stuff.
Yeah, and it's probably more painful than just having a nice snack. Which is never really a snack for me. It's usually the whole, you know, enchilada, so to speak.
So staying curious about that, what's going on? What's motivating this? Thinking metaphorically, what are you hungry for? What more do you want? What can you not get enough of? How do you feel powerless in your life? And how is that getting played out with your relationship with food is something to keep thinking about.
Yes, I will. And you've already helped me a tremendous amount. I just feel like some things are so painful that you almost feel like you're going to die if something happens. And it's usually never like that. It's probably the child who thinks that. And the child, instead of thinking that, would rather eat. And I'm an adult, hopefully now, and maybe I can say, hey, you know, it's not going to be as bad as you think. And when you do think it's going to be that bad, you're using food to help you when you might not have to do that or something.
Yes. Talk to yourself as if you were still that little boy who's afraid, and give that part of you some reassurance and some love. rather than abandoning that part of you and it, by eating.
Yes, thank you very much. And I just probably want to say there's some mourning and some grief and some loss that I might have to engage myself in instead of engaging myself in ordering food and looking at menus and imagining what I'm going to eat. Like you said, not focusing on food, but what's eating at you.
And also, even that, what you just described, looking at a menu, thinking about what you can have. It's all very proactive. What can I have? What can I do? It's your being the decider. And that is, as I said, it's an active experience as opposed to grief and loss, which is a passive experience. This happened. This happened to me. Now I've got to deal with it and there's nothing I can do. So that, you know, passive gets turned to active with respect to eating. So a lot of things for you to think about, food for thought. But
yeah.
I can tell that you're...
And I think I just want to say really quickly that we tend to think that active is always better because people think, oh, you know, just go out and do it. You know what I mean? Don't feel, just go ahead and go forward, you know? And sometimes it is good to just sit around and feel.
Well, always it's good to express our feelings, not just sit around and feel. I just have to parse that comment a tiny bit because sitting in your feelings sounds dreadful to most people, including me, sitting in your feelings. Bleh. But experiencing your feelings, expressing those feelings, and responding to those feelings, that's what makes feelings bearable, and that's what makes you able to process your feelings, and what you feel, you can heal.
Now, what do you mean by responding to your feelings? Just a quick question.
Responding is, you know, my VARI acronym, validate and acknowledge and reassure yourself. So sitting is just, oh, you're just like in a pile of feeling. Ugh. But respond, but you got to express it. Oh, I feel sad, or I feel mad, or I feel guilty, or I feel worried, I feel shame, I feel anxious. Expressing it. And then responding is the, but of course I feel this way. How could I not? Anyone in my situation would feel this way. And it sucks, right? You got to validate it. You got to say, yeah, and it's hard. It's painful. It's scary. And it's going to get better. Most people, the mistake we make in our culture is we go right to, oh, it's going to be better. It's not that bad. It could be worse, which is essentially dismissing your experience. But when you acknowledge it and when you validate it and then reassure yourself, that's responding.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for calling, Josh. It's always great to hear from you.
Have a nice Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Okay.
So one way to deal with people when you think that they are scrutinizing you and thinking all kinds of thoughts, and this goes for the holidays and at all times, is to be the observer. Because when you are listening and you are observing others, you're not under a spotlight. You don't have people just staring at you. Put that spotlight on them. When you get some distance from your friends and relatives because you're looking at them, you're the observer, you get some perspective that might help you feel better. So when your mom or your dad or your grandparents criticize your sister or brother or cousin or themselves, you can see how you learned to criticize yourself. When you realize that your mom apologizes for every bite she eats, you'll understand why you feel guilty for every bite you eat. My mom used to always say, like, I don't know why I'm so hungry. I don't know what's wrong with me. You know, and she's like eating an apple. I don't know what's wrong with me. And of course, I learned to internalize that, right? I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm hungry. It can be that subtle. So Observe your family members as if they were actors in a play. And by the way, there are usually certain types of people at these gatherings, and I'm going to go over some of them so that you can learn to recognize them. Okay. So first of all, there are the drunk friends and relatives, and they are either happy drunk, we like them, or angry drunk. Actually, neither of them is very fun, because when people are inebriated, they tend to say things they would ordinarily not say. And they may make comments about your life choices. So instead of you just going like, oh my God, they're saying things, I go like, they're totally buzzed and I am not going to take that to heart. Then there are the perfect lives people. You know these perfect lives people. They are overly cheerful. Their lives are perfect. They are so happy. These are the types that prefer to live in a fantasy world rather than the real world. For those of us in the real world, this can be very frustrating. So the message is, you know, nothing should bother you. Be happy. That discounts reality. And that is very frustrating. And you might feel bad just for feeling bad. So remember, life is not perfect. Living in denial does not help. And when you face the unpleasant truth about your world, you can deal with it. We can deal with what we see, and then we move on. But when we hide our heads in the sand and pretend everything is better than it really is, nothing ever changes. Then there are the jealous relatives, which just make you feel bad about your success. So they try to tear you down and they compete with you. Oh, you did that? Well, I did that 5 times. Oh, you went to Europe for the first time? Oh, well, I've been there 27 times. You just have to say, pathetic. And why are they jealous? It comes from a place of lack, and people act that way because they don't think they're enough. Then there are the people who are living in the past. Their main topic of conversation is how great it used to be back in the day. They can't handle being in the present. And worse, they bring up their version of how things were in your past too. They say things like, you were always such a chubby thing. Oh, you did so great in school. I would have thought you would be on top of the world by now. I would have thought you would be running a corporation or have your own law firm or whatever. Find the cure for cancer. All of which makes you feel bad about you. So think about which of these categories match your family. When you're observing others, you don't feel as much under observation, and that makes you less self-conscious and you feel better. And again, when you feel better, you don't cope with food. You don't need to cope with food when you are feeling good. Okay, the other way to prepare when it comes to other people, Carly Gash, the descriptions are accurate. Yeah, they are accurate. And when you start to say, oh, it's that, oh, they're the drunk ones. Oh, they're drunk and jealous. Or, oh, they are living in the past while drunk and jealous. then you're observing them and it just doesn't touch you as much. So categorizing people, which are they, is really helpful to you because you don't feel you know, like so self-conscious, and you're not thinking about what they're thinking. You're thinking about what you're thinking. Carly Gash, you're calling? Are you here? I don't think so. Not yet. Are you having trouble coming? You're there. Okay. Hi, Carly Gash.
Hi, Dr. Nina. Got it. Can they hear me well?
You're a little fuzzy.
Let me see. How about like this?
Say something and we'll see.
A little better. I was
better.
Just typing,
yeah.
That how those combos are so horrifying.
Yeah, so which one of those can you relate to?
Because I had the business school and I jumped in when I heard the, oh, I did that 5 times, the competitive one and the last one.
Yeah. If you or anybody else wants a copy of this, I have this holiday survival guide, and what I'm talking about comes from my holiday survival guide. So if anyone who wants it, including you, Carly Gash, just shoot me a DM and I will send it to you, or I'll send you a link to get it, or we'll figure it out. I'm also sending it to everyone on my mailing list. So if you're not on my mailing list, go to DrNinaInc.com and sign up for the Food Mood Formula, which I just redid. And you'll also be getting a copy of this holiday survival guide. And I'll be posting it on on my Facebook group, Dr. Nina's Food for Thought Community. So, Carly Gash, tell us about your feelings right now, given that it's the holidays, and I know you're very far from home. Not that you celebrate Thanksgiving, but you're far from home. What's coming up for you?
The hardest Thanksgiving ever is coming. I will not laugh. Okay, so I didn't want to call because because of hard feelings. And then I said, this is exactly when I have to call. So we've been talking about this Thanksgiving and how hard it is to like kind of go through the holidays. And I was telling myself, like, I'm fine. I've been doing like your program for a while. All this healing, all this liberation, liberating myself. So I'm like good, you know. So this year I'll make it. Like I finally dealt it. I wanted just to do it so quickly. And I think I was just ignoring the fact, you know, just let's pretend the elephant is not in the room situation. And the whole week I was freaking out. And yesterday was an epitome, I guess, of me suffering. I was at the group with all very nice, accepting, loving group members.
Carly, guys, we're not going to, we can't talk about that here.
Oh, okay. So what I did, not only at the group, but outside in life, I was just fighting the whole week with elderly people. My mother's age, and like, you know, like pretty much female.
Okay. May I just say that I think your mother's 60 or something? I wouldn't call that elderly. So why don't we say
I'm sorry. That's what we call in our country. In our country, they call them elder. I'm still figuring out the age groups and everything in America. So I didn't mean to
always like 15 years older than you are. So.
Yeah, because in America, it's a different, like in America, like you're 70, 18, okay. You're still young. Okay, in our country, if you're a woman and 50, you're like done.
Well, not here. 50 is the new 40, which is the new 30. So when you're 50, you're actually 30. Okay. So, and what's wrong with being 50? All right. So what you're saying is that you realize, and this is good, you realize that you are taking out some aggression or some anger at people who are around the age of your mother. Mm-hmm. And that tells us that there is some unresolved mom stuff that needs to be worked through. When we work through it with the original person, we don't need to do it with other people. The good news here is that you're not turning on yourself for a long time. And those of you who've been listening to the show know that Carly Gash is a very frequent caller. And Carly Gash, what you used to do is you would turn against yourself. I know you probably still do it a little bit. You'd attack yourself, and you'd attack yourself always for what you ate or what you weigh or all of that. The good news here is that you're not doing that so much, but you're getting mad at people who represent your mom instead of actually working through the anger towards your mom.
Mm-hmm. So it's still like kind of not the direct approach. Well, I was partially angry at myself, but
the only reason I didn't beat myself up because you've been telling me not to do so, and I kind of finally remembered that it's not the way out. And so I said I cannot automatically again hit myself because I'm such good at hitting myself and like beating myself up. I said, of course I can do that, but like what result am I going to get? Like, you know, you're teaching me to do different. So I said, this time I will not come at myself, even if it feels like an easier way because I've been doing it so often in the past. But then I was like stuck, I guess, in those feelings, and I didn't know what to do. I guess pain is still surfacing and anger at the situation that at the age of 37, I just started living. I just started understanding how things are. And I'm just so angry at the situation. There is actually nobody to blame, honestly. It's like,
it's not about it's blaming. Okay, it's not about blaming. It's about explaining. So it's about saying, well, this is my situation. This is how it affected me. So blame is, this is me talking as you, like, you know, you, or I had a schizophrenic mother and my life sucked and she's the reason that I'm stuck in this place. Like, that's blame. That's victimhood. And that is not what you're doing or what I advocate. However, explain is, I had a schizophrenic mother. This is how it affected me. And I want to understand that and process that in the service of being free and creating change. So it's very important to recognize that. And I also want to say another thing that's very important. Often if we go right to anger, whether it's anger towards ourselves or anger towards others, and that's mm-hmm. our go-to, then be curious about the kind of sadness that anger might be covering up. Earlier, I was talking with Josh about going from passive to active. Mm-hmm. Sadness is a passive feeling. Anger is an active feeling, like, and sometimes we cover up our sadness and vulnerability by going to active through anger. So be curious also about how sad you might feel. I'm not saying you're not angry. Yes, you are. But you may also have some sadness that needs to be felt and responded to so that you don't use food for comfort or to create in a situation where you get mad at you.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to address sadness because I kind of, Dr. Nina, I'm tired of being sad, honestly. And I know I have, at some point, I guess I got angry of being sad, you know. I said, how long will I be sad, you know? Like, how long will I process this pain? Like, you know, when will it end? I guess that was the anger of pretty much realizing my sadness, but also, like, not being able to change what happened in my life and, like, you know,
have to mourn. And Carly Gass, you have to go through a process of mourning. And part of mourning, this is the process of mourning, according to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And I think she's right. Only it's not just like, okay, step one, step two, step three. You can go back and forth. Yeah. Denial. Mm-hmm. This didn't denial. Ah, I'm stronger for what happened to me. It made me a stronger, better person. It didn't affect me other than well. Anger is the second. So denial, anger. And I think, you know, you're there. Depression. Oh, this is what happened. And, oh, bargaining. I forgot. Bargaining is, if I do this,
bargaining,
then,
yes, bargaining.
If I just talk to her this way, then she'll be this. If then is bargaining. Then depression. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, this is my reality. And finally, acceptance. And so look mm-hmm. at anger that you're feeling and the depression as part of a process of mourning. And when we mourn, that's when we actually feel better. The situation doesn't change, but we feel better about it. And when we can respond to ourselves and go through that mourning process, we don't need food to cope because we're coping.
Mm-hmm. also was the reason, I think, was why it boiled up so much. Like I said, this year was in September was the first time I had a birthday when I was first time not miserable and didn't cry. So I pretty much was just born. But today I woke up and I realized that today is my mother's birthday. And it's always like that. I always purposefully forget her birthday. My whole life, I purposefully forget. I never like get ready in a week or so. Recently, I stopped sending her presents because of the anger.
I mean, I think that's really insightful that even though you weren't consciously aware it was her birthday and you weren't consciously aware that you're holding this anger towards her, some part of you that was hidden, your unconscious, was very much aware and is starting to feel it. The good news again is that you didn't stuff it down and then get mad at yourself for eating, which is how it used to be. You didn't displace it onto yourself. You displaced it in other ways, but it's showing that you got to get in touch with and express and respond to all this anger, because it's there and now it needs your attention. So don't get mad at yourself for eating. Don't get mad at someone else who's the same age as your mother. Express how you feel, not to your mother. That's not going to help. But to others who can hear you.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of stuffing too. And getting angry at other people. So it was, and at the same time realizing that something is going on. So it was kind of all together.
Exactly.
So I think that's what makes it a little confusing for me.
So I want you to go to page 45 of The Binge Cure, which I know you have a copy of. Go to page 45, where you will see all the prompts. So when I say you have to express anger, of course, if we learn to not feel our feelings, then how do we learn to express it? So page 45 is all the prompts, right? No? And you just finish them. I'm aggravated that. I'm annoyed that. I'm irritated that. I resent. I'm angry. I'm furious. I'm incensed. I'm enraged. And you finish all of them. You express them. And then you write them down maybe, and then you speak them. Because anger has to be expressed with feeling. We don't get our anger out if we just say, well, I'm really mad at my mother, as you kind of just did. We get our anger out when we say, oh, I am so mad at my mother. I am so mad at her. Note the difference. And I'm not talking about saying it to her. That's not going to help. But we have to express ourselves with a feeling is actually felt in our bodies. Emotions are called feelings because we feel them. And we feel things when we eat too much as well. When we binge, it's also in our body. So let's translate that into, the actual thoughts and emotions that you are feeling so that it doesn't get displaced either at yourself or to other people. Okay. Let me know how it goes. You can do it.
Thank you, Dr. Nina. But I'll try to do it.
Try to do that. No, there is no try. You will do that. This anger and this sadness needs to come out. It needs to come out so it doesn't boomerang back on you or you end up being angry at other people that you're actually not angry with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let us know how it goes, and practice makes progress. And I'm glad you called.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Nina. Have a great day.
You too, Carly Gash. Be nice to yourself. Mm-hmm. Curious, not critical.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I will.
Okay, bye. Bye for now.
Okay.
Yes, so often we get mad at ourselves for eating or what we ate or what we weigh or fill in the blank, when really that is a displacement. We're actually upset at other people or other situations. And it's really important to normalize anger. Normalize it. It's just a reaction to a situation. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you an angry person. It makes you a person who's angry, a person who's upset. Just as when we're sad, sadness is a normal human reaction to situations. It doesn't make us depressed people. You know, I mean, some people, of course, are depressed, but my point is that these are normal, natural human emotions that are reactions to situations. If we don't express it and acknowledge it, we are going to turn to food for comfort when we're sad. We're going to turn to food to express anger when we're mad. We're going to get mad at ourselves for eating, right? All of these feelings that we have in life then become put on us, and that's not fair and doesn't help. Because getting mad at yourself when you're actually mad at someone else or a different situation only makes you feel worse. When you feel worse, you're more likely to turn to food. It's a vicious cycle. We want to stop the cycle. Okay, so one other thing about the holidays, and that is prepare clever comebacks to things that people might say to you. Benjamin Franklin once said, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. Conversely, by preparing, you will succeed. So going home for the holidays or having family over for the holidays, it can cause a temporary regression. As I said earlier, sometimes when you step through the doors of your childhood home or when you go to where your family lives, it can be difficult to hold on to your adult self. So having some snappy comments at the ready will help you through. So be ready for comments and questions and the look, you know, the look about your food choices and your weight, such as, do you really need to eat that? Do you really need a second piece of that? Oh, you put on a few pounds during COVID. Oh, looks like you put on the COVID-19 or more. I mean, it's unbelievable how many people say these kinds of things, because I know people tell me all the time about what people say to them, and it is truly horrific. So there are three ways to deal with these kinds of comments. Number one, set limits. It's very simple. You just set a limit. They say, you really need to eat that. And you say, I am not discussing what I'm eating or how much I weigh, period. They say something and you say, I don't like talking about my weight, so I prefer that you don't bring it up. Very direct. And they'll go like, okay. And then you've made your point and you keep doing it and then they'll stop. This is kind of the most difficult one to do, to be that direct. And that's why using humor, which is the second way to deal with it, is easier and a little bit more fun. So you say, no, I don't need that. No, I don't need to eat that, but I sure do want it. Why? Is there a problem? They say something about your weight. You say, you know what? My weight is a number and it is unlisted. They say you put on a few pounds, COVID-19, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for noticing. And I thought nobody was paying attention. Or, you know, absolutely right, I did. Mm-hmm. Curvy is the new black, didn't you hear? Or, wow, I actually have gained weight. Wow, thank you for letting me know, because otherwise it would completely have escaped my attention. Humor. The other one is to deflect. They say, you really need to eat a second piece of that pumpkin pie, or, oh, you really need that pumpkin pie? You say, so what's new with you? They say, well, I see that you didn't starve during the pandemic. You say, so what's going on with your kids? You know, you get the idea. You whatever they say, you say something that has nothing to do with what they're saying. They say something about your weight. You say, you know, I'm thinking about going on a cruise. They say something about what you're eating. You say, gosh, what about what's going to happen with that January 6th commission? Maybe not. No politics, no religion, but you get the idea. You just totally change the subject. Absolutely. And by the way, here's a common comeback that you might hear. I'm only asking, they tell you, I'm only asking because I'm really worried about your health. I'm only being intrusive and judgmental because I'm really worried about your health, is really what it feels like. You say, I appreciate your concern, but I don't want to talk about it. Back to just being very direct. I appreciate your concern. I don't want to talk about it. And remind yourself, this is temporary. This is absolutely temporary. Before you know it, the new year will be here and you will have gotten through the holidays without gaining weight and without hating yourself. So we have a few more minutes. Sort of misgauged that. Thought it would take me longer to talk about. So let me just say, when it comes to food, the number one thing that you should do during the holidays is actually something you should not do. And that is, do not attempt to diet. Dieting over the holidays or ever never works. It will backfire. And here is why. Diets fail because on some level they are about deprivation, and that nearly always leads to overeating or binging. Because the anticipation of not being able to eat what you want in the future will make you want it more. Or the experience of not being able to have something will make you want it more. If I say, if you are indifferent about eggplant, and I say, you know what, you can never have eggplant the rest of your life, you're probably going to want it just because you can't have it. Bad example. But let's just say, you know, whatever it is, if you think you can't have it, you're going to want it more. Also, if you are thinking all the time about not eating pumpkin pie or Christmas cookies or latkes or whatever it is, then you have pie and cookies and latkes on your mind all day. And that puts the focus on the wrong thing, which is what you're eating and not why. Diets fail because they only deal with food. Diets don't address the underlying reasons that make you turn to food in the first place. And there are many reasons that could be happening. Eating for comfort, eating for distraction, eating to numb yourself against difficult feelings or thoughts, and more. Eating so much you're in pain, maybe you're converting emotional pain to physical pain. Maybe you are feeling stuffed, not because you lack willpower, but because there's some emptiness, some void in your life that you are symbolically filling with food. When we feel lonely, when we feel empty, we feel it as an inner void. And you're not going to feel that inner void if you're using food to symbolically fill the void. So my point is, to think symbolically. Don't think about what you're eating. Think about why. And by the way, dieting also keeps you in a perpetual battle with yourself. You're good if you have this. You're bad if you ate that. That means your sense of good enoughness or feeling good about yourself or bad about yourself is tied to what you eat. Really? No. And foods aren't good or bad. They're just some continuum of healthy to unhealthy. And we can't always eat good foods. We can't always eat clean. We need to eat a variety, and we need to learn to trust ourselves and to eat intuitively. And to eat intuitively, you first have to take away this idea that these foods are good, these foods are bad, these foods are forbidden. Only going to make you want it more, right? So the key to change is to stop dieting and to start tuning in to what is eating at you. Instead of what you are eating, ask yourself why. And when you deal with the true problem and you resolve it, all this food stuff ends. And that is why I believe in liberation, not in recovery. In recovery, you're always dealing with it. You're always thinking about it. You're always like trying to be good. No, 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 no. That is just, oh, what a way to live. It's no way to live. Liberation is, hey, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to think about my day, not my diet. At meals, I'm going to think about what I want, what I'm hungry for. If I'm going to have a treat, I'm going to have it and enjoy it instead of be guilt-ridden and tell myself how I shouldn't have it. That's liberation. That's what I'm here to help you get to. So thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for my callers, Josh and Carly Gash. I always appreciate your input. And thank you for joining me here. I'm here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific. You can listen live at LA Talk Radio, either their website or their Facebook. You can also listen to me on Instagram. You can listen later or watch later, actually, since we're now on video. You can watch later on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio on Apple Podcasts. And if you love the show, please take a moment and leave a rating or a review. That helps me reach more people when they do searches. And when I reach more people, we help more people. Happy Thanksgiving, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.